Hello, it's Monday, February 5th, and you are listening to DreamStation.cc video game show. I'm your host, Chris, and this is show number 42. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. If you want to send us an email, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. With us today, we have three people. In addition to myself, we have Phil.
Hello, ladies.
We have Keith.
Hello.
And we have Bob.
Hello, men.
Hello, inanimate objects.
We have a special report once again by Tom, MC Frags Lot, and the good book has been opened and revealed the following topics for discussion this week.
Well, before we start, I'd like to say that the intro song this week was Bat Country by Avenged Sevenfold, whom we incorrectly identified last week as Avenging Sevenfold. I'd like to apologize. We didn't think you were done. I'll give that a minute to sink in.
Yeah, let me spell it out. We thought that they were in the current process of currently avenging. They're done avenging.
They've avenged all that can be avenged for the time being.
And good show tonight, guys. You're down the street from me currently, and I was gonna buy tickets and go, but like, I don't know, it was sold out like months ago. Damn you for being popular and having fans.
I guess we'll talk about it right now. Basically, I had made not fun of it. My intentions was never to make fun of it, but I just said, oh, haha, this MySpace thing. These bands have these PR accounts that they just promote themselves, whatever. So they had added themselves as our group in MySpace, which we'll get to that in a moment. Well, I said their band name incorrectly, as Bob pointed out, and I said their song incorrectly, and I pretty much butchered everything, but I have to publicly apologize because they posted on the forums on MySpace and said, hey, we like you anyways, but let's just clarify, it's Avenged Sevenfold, and it's Bat Country, not Bat City. We tease and we make fun of a lot of different people, but being kind of metalheads, we did not do it on purpose. We didn't mean any disrespect. If I do meet them in person, I kind of told them that they all get to punch me in the arm.
If you want, I'll punch them for you. Drop them a line and say, yeah, I have permission to punch them.
But yeah, they were really cool about it. I had my doubts if it was just a marketing thing. It's not. I felt kind of bad, so we got to support the band. The offer stands. If you guys ever want to do any kind of interviews or talk games or anything, get in touch with me. That being said, 50 Cent, if you've heard anything we've said about you, it was all Phil's idea, so if you need to extract revenge, look at him. Alright, let's get into what we're going to be discussing this week. Alright, this week we will be talking about what's new at Dream Station, Diablo 3 news, Native Americans boycott gun, Call of Duty 2 patch, update, Xbox Live Arcade versus Sony and Nintendo, the PlayStation 3's deadly online strategy, a Sony developer fired for dissing the PS3, our forum question, and our mailbag.
Next topic.
As you can probably tell, my voice is absolutely shot. I've been sick all week. That's why no one has seen me online. Please bear with me. I have a cold. Horrible weeks of Marge Simpson toasting. I guess we got to congratulate the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is not easy because we are from Cleveland. They won the Super Bowl yesterday. They are a worthy adversary. Too bad we are not.
I'd say, for who? Cleveland?
Cleveland isn't very up there on the adversary chart. Community stuffs. We have an FAQ in our forums. We have a Frapper map. We have a MySpace account. We also have a new thing this week. We have a group on 1UP.com. 1UP.com kind of has like its own little MySpace thing, so we are spreading our little wraithy tendrils all over the internet.
That didn't sound like a wraithy tendril at all.
I didn't know what a wraithy tendril sounded like.
It's been asked many times over the last few weeks, so let's give out our X-Fire and or Xbox Live names. My Xbox Live name is C. Paladino. My X-Fire name is Dino56K. Bob's never really online anyways. He's online for one purpose, to play with us, and then he gets off of line. Phil, no, you don't have Xbox Live, and you have an X-Fire account that you rarely use.
X-Fire is just P-Lock.
And then Keith?
I want to say the Mighty Oot, but I really haven't been on recently.
And by recently, he means ever. Alright, so on X-Fire, Keith is out. There was more Bumblefoot stuff in the news, but folks have emailed and posted in our forum saying they pretty much don't care anymore, so I will pass on the details. One of which is that another game came out called I'm Okay that matches his whole proposal. If you're interested, Google that puppy. It's kind of funny. The other day, we were looking for a game to play. We tried several, ended up with a game called Doofus on the PC.
Pretty sure
it's Doofus.
Doofus. It's D-O-F-U-S. It's a kind of MMO. It's free.
Sort of.
It's a tactical combat game, kind of like maybe a Final Fantasy Tactics or a Vandal Hearts or one of those, grid-based, turn-based tactical games. except with pretty flash graphics. The backgrounds are kind of static, but the combat was actually really cool. A lot of different classes.
You can leave town for one thing. I was playing a little bit this morning, and if you try to leave the first city that you're in, all you get, I think you can just look around. You can't interact with anything, and you don't have, I don't think we can form guilds yet. There's something else with chat we can't do.
I'm not sure how I feel about this thing for $7 a month. I think your best bet is to download the client, see if you like it, see if it's worth $7. It's $7. It's not $20. It's not $15. So that's a good point, and you can decide for yourself if you like it. I'm undecided yet. I may actually do it. From the couple hours we played it, it was a lot of fun. It's a good way to kill a weekend, it looks like.
I really liked how they did combat. I thought there's a lot more strategy involved in this than in any other MMO I've played.
It's a lot of fun. It's Final Fantasy Tactics multiplayer. I mean, that's all I can really say about it.
Blizzard doesn't hate gay people. Just wanted to get that one out there. They actually did make an official announcement. You can see.
Did they really make
going.
An announcement that they don't hate gay people?
Yeah, basically. Where this is going is that the lawsuits have started. A gay rights group is looking at suing Blizzard because of that whole thing we talked about last week. There's more politically correctness later in the show that we'll get to, but...
Oh, goody.
Lastly, I just want to remind everyone, for you gamer geeks that actually socially interact with the female sex... Guys, it's Valentine's Day next Tuesday, so if you believe in holidays created by greeting cards companies, you may want to get your Valentine something.
Next topic.
New at DreamStation.cc. We have reviews of the following. Dragon Quest VIII for the PS2, Kim Possible for the Nintendo DS, and Call of Duty 2 for the Xbox 360. Getting into our second real topic.
That was quick.
There's not a lot to say about it. Reviews up, check site. I mean, we're a gaming website, so anything you hear in the podcast, usually you go to the website, there's a little more topic discussion, go to the forums, etc. So, you know, the website backs up the podcast.
Next topic.
Diablo 3 news. Rumors have been flying around for the last few years. Gaming Steve has come out and said he has some insider information. Yes, there will be a Diablo 3. It will be set in heaven with Hell Forces invading. The game will be in full 3D, and they will have some WoW features, but it will not be an MMO. The whole thing, this came about because on Blizzard's
website...
To
be released in 2050.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Beta testing begins in 2050.
They're looking for some artists to work with the people who are on the Diablo 2 game. So again, as Gaming Steve has pointed out, they did this on purpose. They think it's time to start leaking info, which is cool. We like Diablo. I think it was kind of known already, but this is just the nail in the coffin, the icing on the cake, etc.
The nail in the icing?
The icing in the coffin.
Mmm, delicious.
Grave icing.
Next topic.
All right, remember how I said we were going to have that whole political correctness thing?
No.
I did. I know it was a long time ago, a good 45 seconds. Native Americans boycott the Activision game Gun. Yes, Indians, the kind that we forced into the reservations, not the kind that steal American programming jobs through outsourcing. Those guys are boycotting Activision's game Gun. Nothing personal against people from China or India or any other place like that that has cheaper labor, but as a computer programmer, that's a touchy subject for me. The Association for American Indian Development says that Gun is racist and stereotypical. They want the game edited and re-released. If this cannot happen, they demand the game be recalled from store shelves.
You know what? I'd like to take the podium for a moment.
Oh, God, here it comes.
You've been saying the same thing about Chief Wahoo for how long? It's not meant to insult you. Get over it. Okay, I step off my soapbox.
Okay. Chief Wahoo, for those who don't know, is the Cleveland Indians baseball mascot. What they're saying is, yes, the brutal slayings of the indigenous people did happen, but so did the Holocaust and the slaves being lynched. But you don't see games glamorizing the gory details of those times. They say that you have to kill members of the Indian race in order to progress in the game. This is the same as if someone would make a Civil War game where the object is to catch and lynch runaway slaves. They said it, not me. The game is rated mature. The association said that kids are going to manage to get their hands on it anyways, and then they will carry that behavior onto the real Apache people.
I'm Italian, and they've had how many gladiator games where in Rome people are getting slaughtered and Italians are getting slaughtered? I'm very offended. They're not allowed to make any more Roman gladiator games where Italians...
So every time I kill a mobster...
I was just going
to
say,
I have to apologize to the Italian community.
The world doesn't revolve around you.
Right, I mean, Italians are mobsters. Blacks are gang members. We kind of talked about this a little bit a couple shows ago, and it's a stereotype. I'm not agreeing with it, but I am saying that, you know, Activision come out and they said, hey, look, we don't condone acting the way that people acted in the 1800s, but this game is a pretty much a portrayal of a crazy time period. You scalp people. It's not racially aimed at scalping only the Indians. You can scalp all races equally, I guess.
You know, like I said, people just need to grow up. It's not about them.
And I think the chances of Activision actually pulling this one from store shelves, I think it's pretty slim.
I think we should have the game Risk pulled off the store shelves, too, while we're at it. We wouldn't want world domination.
It offends little plastic horses. The opinions expressed by Keith are not the opinions of everyone at the DreamStation.cc video game show.
Oh, you lie.
Next topic.
The Call of Duty 2 patch. Update. So Call of Duty 2 for the Xbox 360 has been patched. The patch addresses some single-player game corruption stuff. What everybody really wanted patched was the multiplayer side of things. The first issue that I have is this whole Microsoft stance on patching games via Xbox Live. It was my understanding that the official stance is that you shouldn't do that, it's forbidden. It'll prevent people from just rushing games out into the field without actually testing them, because that's what happens in the PC world, and all of us have kind of grown tired of buying the game, installing it, and then the very first thing you do is download all the patches for it because they were rushed or too lazy or what have you. I can't think of a game in the last 10 years that I haven't installed that didn't have a patch at launch. I actually emailed a cool person at Microsoft. This person said that they were going to try and get me answers, so hopefully she or he will do so, but they also admitted the official answer may be we do not have an official answer, so I appreciate that anyways. If you go to our website, you can read the full review of the Xbox 360 version of Call of Duty 2. To summarize, single player is really good, multiplayer is pretty much unplayable. Too much lag, no friend invites, you can't have a game with just us, and I can invite Bob, Phil, and Keith into the game. I gotta make a game and hope you guys are quick. Yes, I understand that there's a glitch that you can actually get around that system, but it's a glitch, it wasn't intended to do it that way. I have an upcoming article on the website coming basically saying that while Microsoft is not to blame for the lag and this stuff, I think that they should be proactive and step up and take responsibility. Here's my little rant. Halo 2, while not my favorite game at all, has a pretty amazing online experience. I know this because I've actually been playing Halo 2. I played Halo 2 over the weekend. I played a little bit last week with some of the guys that I was with in the Xbox 360 line. I haven't had any lag in the game. I mean, it comes from the occasional couple seconds or whatever. Matchmaking is really good. When we played Star Wars Battlefront 2 on Xbox Live, it's too laggy to play. Call of Duty 2 is too laggy to play. So that code that they're using for Halo 2 to get to figure out who's the best host and best suited to host the game, Microsoft owns Bungie. They don't have creative control over Bungie, but I'm pretty sure that they could at least get that code or part of that code, or even if they don't want to go that far, just require that developers have to follow this as one of the extra requirements. I mean, as it is, to get your game on live, you have to have microphone support, friends list, messaging, and all those other things that go along with Xbox Live. Why can't you guarantee lag-free play? I don't understand that.
So you played Halo 2, the Xbox original, on your 360, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, the whole point was just the way that Halo does it, it figures out the game seamlessly. It figures out the best host. If that host drops, it goes to the next best host. The game waits for, you know, 15 seconds till it moves to the next thing. Again, Microsoft is not to blame for this, but I think if you're going to be on our network, you gotta have lag-free play, because we're paying $50 and $60, and people are blaming Microsoft, whether it's Microsoft's fault or not, for, in this case, Call of Duty 2's horrible lag-plagued online game that Infinium Ward has come out and said, hey, we understand there's lag and we're going to make a patch. Well, if you understand there's lag, why didn't you fix it before you released the game?
I'm really surprised Microsoft hasn't put more effort into getting some type of contiguous, I don't know, type of online service that all of the games developed on the Xbox 360 have to follow to avoid stuff like this. It seems like that would be something. I mean, you can't really do anything like that on PC, but I mean, it's your console. You have full control over it. I mean, I think it would be, I don't know, something to look into.
You brought up the PC. The deal with the PC is that I can have a machine solely dedicated to our clan playing, you know, let's say Call of Duty, for example. It's a beefy box and it sits out there and that's its sole purpose. It's on the backbone of the internet somewhere. That's really the way to go. So they don't have dedicated gaming for the Xbox world on Xbox and Xbox 360. You are not only playing on your box, but you're also potentially the host. And I mean, that's another potential solution. Maybe development companies, when they put a game like a Battlefield 2 game out, maybe EA then should put a couple Xboxes out there for the sole purpose of dedicatedly hosting their EA server. I mean, it's an option, right? Or have Xbox somehow allow a PC to interface to run the back end of the games. I mean, these are all options. I don't think they're out of the realm of possibility. Should I stop?
Probably stop. I think we've said what we need to say.
I guess that being said, I should take this moment to pimp Xbox. Out of all the companies gaming-wise, I think there's a select few that actually keeps their community in the loop a lot. Microsoft with the Xbox side of things. Cryptic Studios with City of Heroes did a really, really good job. Those are the two that come to mind the most. Anybody got any other ones?
Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah. So BioWare with Neverwinter Nights. You know, as a developer, I make a lot of fun of Microsoft, and during coding, I hate Microsoft a lot of the time, but the Xbox division, they keep everybody in the loop. They have blogs. I have never sent an email to anybody at Microsoft that I haven't gotten a response to, and the same thing for City Heroes, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, if you post it, they were constantly posting to the forums. You could email them. It was the same thing. They were real nice to their customers. It was very appreciated.
Next topic.
Xbox Live Arcade versus Sony and Nintendo. The Xbox Live Arcade manager, Greg Kinesa, he actually kind of took a couple shots at Sony and Nintendo. You know, God forbid. He said Nintendo's announcement for retro games comes after Microsoft had announced the enhanced Xbox Live Arcade and almost a year after the initial Live Arcade was launched. So he's calling it a response by Nintendo to have old-school Nintendo games downloadable through the Revolution. Because, you know, obviously Xbox is the only people in the entire universe has ever thought of downloading older games.
Phantom!
I was just going to say, I think a certain company we make a lot of fun of called Infinium Labs probably had the idea out on the internet a little bit before Xbox Live Arcade. Now, I could be wrong on that. I don't want to get hate mail. That just shows if Phantom can do it with their non-existent gaming uniform, other people are doing it, dude. So don't take credit.
They cannot do it better than anyone.
Emulation has been around for years. All right, here's a good quote. You guys will get a kick out of this one. We'll finally get some humor into the show.
Why start now?
Dude's quoted as saying, look at Geometry Wars. Geometry Wars is our Halo. That's not a 10-year-old retro title that you're running on some sort of emulator. It's a new title designed specifically for the 360 by using Vertex graphics.
State-of-the-art like, Vertex graphics.
Looks exactly like Asteroids from 1974. Good job.
New and improved. Yes, yes.
Specifically for the 360, because it's too technical to get on, I don't know, PC. I couldn't code that in Flash in a weekend. Not to take anything away from Geometry Wars. Awesome game. It's just, don't come with that. Don't call it Halo. Halo was the title for the 360. If Geometry Wars is your title for the 360, you got a sad platformer software, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know if my TI-200 can handle those graphics.
Play Doom on your iPod. Don't give me this about Geometry Wars on the 360. Greg went on to say that you remember these old Nintendo games being fun, but they're not. You know, Gauntlet, Pac-Man, Joust, those are still fun. Those are the titles that he called out these specifically on the Xbox Marketplace that, you know, Joust is obviously much more fun than the entire Mega Man series. Legend of Zelda, it's not really fun. It was just in your head because Pac-Man is the pinnacle of replay value. Those, you know.
I was going to say, everybody talks about how cool retro gaming is and everything. I mean, is it like old movies? Do you just remember it cool? And then they go down and sit and play Pac-Man, and it's like, dude, what the heck? Some comedian was talking about that. He's like, we're going to talk about video games to our kids. They're going to think we're insane. Whoa, you see that there was this little yellow circle. He'd go around eating dots and chased by ghosts. Whoa, don't miss the fruit there, buddy. Where are you going, kids?
The ghosts of the world are probably like by that game.
We, the mythical Americans, take great offense to the eating of ghosts in Pac-Man.
What about the orcs and the ogres of the world? They're always the bad guys.
Right. Poor robots, aliens, and Nazis. I mean, God, people have been shooting Nazis in games since Wolfenstein and probably earlier than that. What's up with that, dude? How come the Nazis aren't freaking out? Dude went on to talk about Sony. He has even less hope for Sony. He said there are just too many engineering obstacles. There's too many community issues. You can't possibly get the architecture and library and partners that you need to get some sort of arcade version for the PlayStation 3. They're too late to the game. He basically says, good luck. You'll need it. To this I say, how the heck do you know what's going on at Sony? Do they pay you a check? You have no idea what's going on. Guys like this kind of tick me off. It turns out that Xbox Live Arcade truly is a pretty sweet part of the Xbox 360. But let's not get a big head.
Next topic.
Speaking of PlayStation 3 and their deadly online strategy, I guess I should take this moment to mention that we are not an Xbox podcast. We are a video game podcast. I know we've been kind of pimping Microsoft a lot lately, but
they're the only one who are doing anything.
Exactly right. They're the only ones who are putting things out there for us to use and look at and talk about.
Giving us material. Microsoft and Dofus. That's all you get from this show.
Supposedly, the March issue of PSM Magazine has the details of the Sony online strategy. It's on the internet. It has been leaked because, you know, this is the year 2006, so you can't keep anything a secret. Supposedly, it will be a unified network Xbox Live type of thing. They're also going to match all the 360 Live features and some. They're promising the world. They say they're going to have playback of all media types, even iTunes purchase licensed stuff. Going to have DVR capabilities. You got the whole Blu-ray thing going on, and it's just going to blow everything out of the water.
That's great. When it's sitting in front of me, then we'll talk about it.
Absolutely correct. I have to say I'm a little skeptical. We'll see in the next few months if it's true. I think it's the right way to go. You look at Xbox Live Marketplace. Xbox Live Marketplace is a really good idea. Sony would be stupid not to go down this path. We voiced our opinions when they came out and said it wouldn't be a unified system, that that's a horrible, horrible mistake. If Sony comes out with even 75% of what Microsoft has done with the Xbox Live and the 360, I would be worried if I was Microsoft, because the Sony name can carry it pretty far, and then if you're going to have some of these features of the Xbox is pimping, probably a recipe for success.
Next topic.
All right, so a Sony developer has been fired for dissing the PS3.
How can you get fired for dissing something that doesn't exist? I hate unicorns.
Hey, kick your hands off me.
Bob, you're done. Please just turn in your DreamStation badge and get off the podcast.
We get badges?
The unicorn has them. An artist who worked at Sony wrote in a review about the PlayStation 3 and what his experiences with it earlier this year. In that review, dude said, I started to be very excited about the PlayStation 3. I was very confident that it was going to just destroy the 360 just because of the name Sony alone. The more time that goes by on it, the more I'm becoming doubtful. Everything I've developed or seen developed is yet to be next gen. He was fired from his job for actually breaking the NDA, so apparently that's non-disclosure. You aren't allowed to tell anyone the PlayStation 3 that it sucks. You know, that's a secret that it sucks. Shh, don't tell anyone.
You gotta wait till it comes out before we know for sure that it sucks.
He said that he has a pretty good relationship with Sony management. He was floored by the fact that he was let go. The CEO is a pretty cool guy. The managers are very nice to even like the lowest artist on the totem pole there. He was surprised to be let go. Before the article went live, people from Sony actually looked at the article and said, yep, you're cool. It doesn't break the NDA. He basically got fired because you don't bite the hand that feeds you. That's just a bad idea.
The truth hurts.
Right. If you're that worried about, there's a line that you can't cross. Probably Microsoft guys can't come out and say, boy, this Xbox 360 thing is a pile of stinking crap. People know what the problems are, and they know what the good parts of their product are. As a PR person, you aren't allowed to say it. This guy was an artist. He's probably not technically apt to speak about the technical specs of the PlayStation 3, but just as a regular normal dude, you look at something, if it doesn't look like it's the next-gen system, I don't think that takes a genius to figure it out. We look at the Xbox 360, and not a whole lot looks next-gen there either, to be fair. Except for Geometry Wars, now that is a next-gen title.
I don't even know what they mean by next gen anyway. It's just a buzzword that they keep throwing out. No one's really nailed down in concrete, like, what would constitute a next gen system? What are we expecting from it?
I think probably all of us could agree that whatever next gen means, if I look at whatever, take the best Xbox game out there, put it on a TV, then take that game out and boot up a game in the Xbox 360. If my jaw doesn't hit the floor and I'm totally wowed by the fact, oh my God, this is the next step, that's not next gen. And I haven't been wowed like that. I'll be completely honest. I don't think that those games are going to be out for another year, probably, to be honest. And usually they don't. Look at God of War. Awesome game. Took, what, 4 years after the system came out before they're making games that totally take advantage of the hardware?
Well, that's the thing. All the hardware is next generation. You've got tri or dual core systems with the new video cards and the new buses and everything that's in that system.
14 midgets inside eating crackers and stuff. You got to poke them and get them working.
Yeah, as opposed to 2 in the Xbox and PlayStation 2.
The PlayStation, the original, before graphics cards and after graphics cards, that was a jump to next gen. I'm looking for something that caliber again before I call something next gen.
I have a tendency to doubt that we're ever going to see that again. I don't think we're ever going to see the jump where we go, holy crap, that's amazing.
I distinctly remember when we got the Nintendo, because we were used to the Atari, and then the Super Nintendo, opposed to the regular Nintendo. That's never going to happen.
You'd have to put it in, and, like, you should just see, like, I don't know, Bruce Willis shooting somebody, and you'd be able to control who he's shooting at and be like, holy effing crap.
Right, you get lip sync that you're not like, wow, that's really good lip sync. You're like, dude, they paid Charlie Sheen to be a Mexican commando deep in the jungles of Texas.
Far Cry 4 starring Charlie Sheen. I'd buy it.
I guess the moral of the story is don't bite the hand that feeds you. If you have an issue with your employer, don't put it out all for the world to see.
Hack into their computer system and completely just start deleting things.
But the thing is, he was an artist. So
scribble all the other artist's drawings.
Send things to the recycle bin with wild abandon.
Next topic.
Have you ever skipped work or school to get a console or game on its launch day? Let's find out. It's this week's poll topic with me, MC Frankslot. Percent of our respondents said, yeah, they have skipped worker school for a new release. However, 66% of our respondents aren't hardcore at all. Let's go to the forums. The Pezinator writes, I have twice in the past. I called in, quote, sick and asked for vacation advance so I could afford the Sega CD add-on system. I also called in sick for 2 days in a row when I purchased my first PlayStation. By then, I was living in the college apartments, and I remember not turning it off for 3 solid days. Let's just say my apartment was the place to be for 3 weeks, unless you like hanging out with girls. Okay, he didn't really say that last line, I just added that. Temple Dog writes, I'm a launch virgin. I'm going to do the Nintendo Revolution launch this fall. Going to enlist a buddy of mine and camp out at my favorite mom-and-pop, Gamerama, here in Toronto. Have to talk to the pop in question, Alex, about what his plans are for that night and what the pre-order situation is likely to be. Even got me some choice recording gear for the blessed event, courtesy of eBay. Still, I'm worried about the lack of news, game, demos, etc. from the Big N. Hopefully, we'll see something worthy by E3. After all, a system without games is just a cool paperweight. Or, Temple Dog, you could have said, a system without games is just an Xbox 360. Or, a system without games is just a PSP. Oh, zing! And you guys thought I was on Quaaludes when I was doing this last week. Finally, Metroid laments, no, my mother would never approve. Hang in there, man. She'll be dead one day.
Time for MC Shoutout.
MC Shoutout this week goes to none other than John Romero. Yes, that's right, the other John from id Software. Romero just announced through his website that he's begun work on a new MMO with an as-yet unnamed company. Given John's fine track record, I'm sure we can expect this game sometime before 2020. I kid, John. I'm rooting for you. I really am. After all, design is law, right?
All right, thank you, MC Frags-a-Lot, for your poll coverage. Next week's poll, when was the last time you actually used a joystick? The answers that you could pick from is yesterday, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 5 year, 10 years, and a what now? Go to our website, dreamstation.cc. On the left-hand side there is a link to the forums. Go into the general forums, and you will see the poll listing for the next show.
Next topic.
It is time for the mailbag. If you want to send us an email, send a video game show at dreamstation.cc. This one is from Adam. Adam says about the Nintendo DS redesign. Honestly, how could you possibly find any fault with a game console manufacturer releasing a redesigned version of their consoles? You don't have to buy it. They're not holding a gun to your head. If you don't want to get it, don't get it. Duh. Did you whine when the PS1 was released? Or the Slim PS2? Or when the GameCube was discreetly redesigned to not include the digital AV port? How about when the Game Boy SP got a brighter screen? The Game Boy Pocket? He goes on to list several more systems here. I'm just going to say etc. for now. Probably not. Just
I'd like to say, at each and every one of those circumstances, yes, we did complain thoroughly, I assure you.
Yes, I was going to say, I mean, I think the only one that this show we were privy to the Game Boy SP redesign, we had a whole big rant about that, so I guess let's continue with the email here. The fact that the matter is that the new DS design is pretty cool, and people who want a DS can go get it. If they already have one, then maybe they can get the new one, maybe they don't. If you're that hardcore, knock yourself out. If not, I don't get it, you don't have to. You won't be penalized for it. In fact, no one in the press has yet to report that it will be as full-featured as the original anyways, so you may end up with being happier with the old design. Regardless, it's not a mistake to make your products better ever. I like emails like that. I like emails that kind of call us out, even though they're wrong.
All the emails you want, as long as you're happy being wrong.
I understand his point. His point is, you know, okay, fine, whatever, they did it. Stop ripping on them. And I guess there's a certain truth to that. We have problems with redesign of everything, especially doing it just after Christmas. I think that's cheesy. People have bought this thing for Christmas, and then you pull this whole thing where you just re-release it a couple weeks later. You knew before Christmas you were going to re-release it. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just, yes, I understand it's a business. It's cheese. If you're in the business of cheese, good job.
Just, there's always that little nugget in the back of your head that thinks, oh, great, now they're not going to support my old version, and, you know, in 2 years from now, I'm not going to be able to play anything without the new one.
Or in the case of the Game Boy, the original Game Boy didn't have backlighting. Without a backlit Game Boy, it was really freaking hard to play anything. Everybody bought this thing, then they get a backlight, and then they re-release it, and then they re-release it with a brighter screen, then they release the Game Boy Micro, which is the same thing but small. It's like, dude, come on.
If you don't want to hear us ranting, don't listen to us.
Jesus, Jesus.
Seriously, though, I do want emails. saying the other side of the view. I mean, a lot of the times we agree on stuff. If you guys don't, send us an email. All the stuff we say, we're teasing, we're joking. Let us know. This is from Joel in Wisconsin. I just started listening, and I like what I hear so far. Keep it up. Here's my question. Is there any chance we'll see another LEGO Star Wars game based on the original trilogy? There's a whole rumor going on right now that the Star Wars LEGO games are going to be made based on the original trilogy. Exactly. I think it's a pretty good bet to bet on that because the Star Wars LEGO game was a pretty big seller, and it was actually pretty fun.
That's called good turnover.
I would bet money on that. Yes, they're going to. I would bet money that it's going to be released in the next few years here. I would assume it would be released on the Xbox One. That's just me speculating, though. It's a good question. Thank you, Joel in Wisconsin. How is the Munster out there?
I'm sure it's awesome. It's Wisconsin.
This is from Squeak. Squeak says, hey guys, I was wondering if you've ever bought a game console just to get the game you really wanted. If I look at trailers for Zelda Twilight Princess, I remember back when the N64 was out, Zelda Ocarina of Time. See, I pronounced it right. So
nice.
Stop making fun of me. It was so fun. When I saw this, I remember the game and Twilight Princess looks really fun. Should I buy a cube just to get this game or should I wait for the revolution and see if you can use the disc in its disc slot?
Play it at somebody else's house first. If you still think it's that sweet, then go ahead and buy it. Because I'm not going to lie. I did that for Battle Arena Toshinden for the PlayStation. I played that game at Chris's house and ran out like the next week and bought a PlayStation.
Between that and Twisted Metal.
Yep.
Supposedly, Nintendo has stated that the Revolution will play GameCube games, so I think that you're probably safe if you want to wait till the Revolution. That being said, if you're a Zelda head, you're probably going to want to pick up a GameCube. They're about, what, 37 cents anyway?
You're going to pay more for the game than you are for the GameCube. You might as well go ahead and buy it unless you want to wait another year.
Get it on eBay, really cheap, and I think they're worth it. Mario Karts, you know, the Mario Golf, all the Mario games, anything first.
Super
party,
Smash Super Brothers. Monkey Ball.
Right, Monkey Ball, Smash Brothers. There's a lot of good games. The Nintendo GameCube is well worth picking up. This one is from Justin Newman. Justin Newman's the one that bought MC Fragslot's GameCube. He sent me a link here. Middle school student practices driving skills learned from the games Injured 6. A 15-year-old Japanese teen was arrested for reckless driving, and he told the police he wanted to use techniques he had learned from video racing games. For 3 hours, the third-year middle school student performed reckless stunts as driving over 100 kilometers an hour on a 5-meter-wide street and abruptly accelerating and decelerating. According to police, in early December, the boy stole a car whose key had been left in the ignition from a dealership. That wasn't very smart.
Wow.
He was carrying 5 friends, including one in the trunk.
Nice.
No. Right, Japanese cars aren't known for their spacious trunk room either, so that poor dude was folded in half. He ignored a flashing red signal and hit a taxi, injuring a 51-year-old driver and the boy's 5 friends in the car. He then proceeded to drive away from the scene. Good job.
That's what I was going to be my first question was he any good? I mean, it's one thing if he steals it and, like, you know, just, like, runs into a telephone pole. It's another thing if he steals it, does some sweet parallel parking job at 60 miles an hour.
He apparently hit a giant taxi, so he wasn't all that. Thank you, Justin, for that email. This one is from Ryan. Ryan says, hey, guys, I finally got my 360 2 weeks ago, and yes, I did reserve it. Yes, good job, GameStop. Way to be prompt. If I need an insulin shot because I'm going into shock, I hope it's not reserved with EB Games. Anyway, I haven't heard many 360 games being reviewed on your show, so I thought I'd bring your attention to the best game I've played on the system so far. This one is called Condemned: Criminal Origins.
Yeah, we played Condemned. It was pretty sweet.
Brief review here. Alright, in this game you're a cop investigating a serial killer who likes to leave deformed mannequins where he kills people. You start off at the crime scene, you have to look for clues and stuff. That part was a little annoying. After that, you start chasing the guy through halls and you have to fight druggies and whatnot. Then you get attacked by the guy and he takes your gun and frames you for killing the 2 cops that you were with. Then this random dude who says he knows your dad or whatever is helping you, but like, you don't know if you can trust him or whatever. The rest I think I've played of the game is you trying to find the guy who framed you so that you can clear your name and all that crap. It's the best game on the system right now, I think. The graphics are really good and the lighting effects and the whole atmosphere the game really shows off next-gen systems are going to be able to set moods in games. I do agree. It's very atmospheric, very moody. It's very Saw, very Seven. I admit that I jumped several times while playing the game. The gameplay can get a little repetitious after a while, but the story is always moving forward, and it stays interesting enough to keep your attention. I would give this one a 7.5 out of 10.
Thumb-killing 101.
Ryan, we appreciate the email. I like reviews like this. I do want to point out, though, basically you said, hey, you got your 360, and the very best game on the system so far gets a 7.5 out of 10. A 7.5 is a C, so that's not... a whole lot, really, right? This one is from John. Hey, guys, my name is John. I'm from Pennsylvania. I wanted to give you a shout-out to say that I really enjoy your show. I also wanted to ask how much time Chris or the co-host spend looking for news topics. Thanks for the laughs.
I don't have a job, so I don't have time to browse the internet.
I usually spend quite a few hours preparing for the show. I then spent an hour or two recording the show, and then I spent a few hours editing the show.
Chris puts a great deal of work into the show. Unfortunately, very little of it we can actually help with.
I don't do any research. I just hear stuff on the radio, tell Chris about it, and it gets ignored.
It gets cut from the show.
I sit in the bathroom farting dust and smoke while foghorns go off.
What?
Next topic.
That's it. That's the show. So intro music was Bat Country, as Bob had mentioned, by Avenged Sevenfold. The outro music is also by Avenged Sevenfold, and that one is called Unholy Confessions. That one's from Waking the Fallen. Bat Country is from the City of Evil CD. Check out our website, dreamstation.cc. Email videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Vote for us if you care to at all of your favorite voting podcast places like Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, and the list goes on. Again, MySpace, Frapper, and all that other stuff. 1UP.com, groups. Dude, we're everywhere.
Dude, wow. Our list is too long.
All right, well, thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show. I appreciate it. And did any of you have anything to say before we close off here for the evening?
Are we?
Okay. I guess not. Talk to you guys next week, hopefully. I'll be here.